And welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT FM, 89.5 FM. And today we will be talking to a couple of very special guests. We're going to talk with the former Attorney General of the United States, Ramsey Clark, who has recently returned from a mission to Syria. He is a founder, by the way, of the International Action Center and has been on peace missions several times trying to convince America not to solve every problem by dropping a bomb on it. And maybe this time he succeeded. We're going to find out. And later at in the show, we will talk to Dr. Theogen Rudasingwa, and he is one of the spokespersons of the Rwandan exile community. And, well, I shouldn't say exile. He's also a spokesperson for Rwandans. They're seeking to have Mr. President Paul Kagame face reality and to open up the political space in Rwanda. We'll be talking to him at 5:30. You may know there was a demonstration in Toronto on Saturday because President Kagame was in the city. He's now presently in New York and has had, let's say, he got a warm reception in these places. And I'm going to announce a program coming up next. Will be coming up October 7, and that's going to be an interview with Clancy Siegel. He has written a new book called Hemingway Lives, with an exclamation mark, Why Reading Ernest Hemingway Matters Today, and he reviews the career of Ernest Hemingway. Seems kind of apropos of a little debate that's going on around the city and in the literature departments. If there's any ever a writer who's sort of claimed territory of, as a macho writer, that would be Ernest himself, who loved bullfighting and wars. And well, he didn't love wars. He had wars he didn't like, but he certainly won his reputation, a lot of it, on his account of war. Of course, he used to work for the Toronto Star. That's why all of our listeners want to know is about Ernest's career here in Toronto. And I want to, while we're attempting to reach Ramsey at the moment, I want to tell our listeners, too, please go to the Stop NATO site. That's our friend Rick Rozoff. And that's Stop NATO. He's got an excellent article today which discusses why the U.S. The Obama Doctrine, which is a very nice title, in my opinion. And the author, Zhao Jinglun, quotes a speech by President Obama, and he says Obama was, as usual, trying to convince the world of America's desire to be a promoter of peace, and in which Obama kept using the word peace is hard, it's difficult. And so the author says, why? It actually isn't that hard, but the peace is available, provided that the U.S. Ceases to try to solve problems by military intervention. He has a nice the term he uses is the U.S. has to be recognized as a hegemon of war and intervention. And who could argue with that point, by the way? Incidentally, that's at stopnato.com or Rick Rozoff, if you find it that way. And also there is another site, china.org.cn. I think everybody should read it, Frank. That's the beauty of that particular site, in my view.
I feel that's stopnato.org.
StopNATO.org. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I'm trying to get people to go to com when they ought to go to org. Yeah.
And there's also
how many times have I done that?
Also, rickrozoff.wordpress.com. There's your com.
That's the voice of Phil Condon. I know all recognize, but I want to make sure I neglected to introduce Phil. We haven't been able to reach Ramsey just yet, so I'm going to just tell you some things I know about that trip, and when we do get him, well, we will. Of course, learn more. But also, their website is iacenter.org. That's the International Action Center. It was founded in 1992 by Ramsey Clark. And I noticed that traveling with Ramsey, because I don't want to just focus on him alone, there were a number of individuals, but Cynthia McKinney, who served in the United States Congress from Georgia as a congresswoman for six terms, was part of the group and met with President Assad. And they raised a very nice point, in my view, and we're going to ask Ramsey about it. They stressed it, how important it was to see President Assad, because in if you read the Toronto Star or the New York Times, most Western journals, they have tried to, through a process of demonization, cause the removal of President Assad. And that it has caused the International Action Center to stress that it is not the place of the U.S. to talk about who shall be the leader of Syria. That's up to the Syrians, and certainly not the job of the President of the United States or the United States Congress. And this is one of the issues that we all ought to be focused on, and we ought to say the same of the Prime Minister of Canada and of the Parliament of Canada. It is not your job to determine who should be the president of the country of Syria, because once you say that so-and-so has to go, then actually, of course, you're engaging then in an attempt at the removal of that individual. That is, you're not passive. You're actually participating. We pointed this out, that the Canadian government, by closing embassies with Iran and with Syria, they have caused that is fueling the armed effort against those governments. And in the case of Syria, those armed elements now could be clearly recognized, identified as terrorists, the kind that was allegedly Washington hates. I mean, you really have to be a student of Orwell to appreciate how mad the situation is, because the individuals who are carrying out really heinous acts based on sectarian ideology, for example, dislike for other Islamic groups, the characterization of the Alawites as people who have to be destroyed, the attack on Christians, the attack on Zoroastrians, all this, and we're not talking about rhetoric, we're talking about violence, assaults on these people. These are the elements who say that, you know, that they are going to overthrow Assad. So that is not, so when the President of the United States says Assad has to go, he's making himself an ally of those. He can pretend otherwise, but he's obviously an ally of the armed groups. And so there's two factors, and again, we're hoping to get Ramsey here shortly. Two factors there that have to be noticed. One is that the effrontery to call for somebody's removal, but to do so now when there's been an agreement signed by the government of Syria to participate in an international effort to remove and destroy chemical weapons in that country. With that going on, to be to follow that by continuing the call for the removal of somebody's government is wrong and causing difficulty. And we had this news yesterday that the secretary of the National Security Secretary to President Obama, Ms. Rice, I forget her first name, Susan Rice, she said, we are still of the opinion that Assad has to go. And then, of course, Secretary Kerry said, we are going to be supplying military equipment to the rebels. That should almost eliminate that party, whoever said that, from any peace agreements or process, because if you are making yourself a combatant, and also if you're trying to determine the outcome of the negotiations before the negotiations begin, you don't belong at the table. So this is a very, quite an interesting crisis that they're manufacturing for themselves. I don't know. In the book of Proverbs in the Bible, they warn you about digging a hole and then falling in it yourself. They seem to be trying to do that, where they dig a hole and create a problem for themselves. We are joined now by the former Attorney General of the United States, Mr. Ramsey Clark, who is also the founder of the International Action Center and has recently returned from a trip to Syria. Are you there, Mr. Clark?
I'm here, yes. Sorry I'm a little late.
Well, we're glad. It gave us a chance to outline a couple of issues about why you made this trip. I'd like to just start with this matter. Of course, the highlight of the visit from the world point of view of the world's media was that you were in a meeting with the president of Syria. And I read an article by a member of the International Action Center pointing out that this was very important, that you have a meeting with the president, because the issue of whether or not he is the president or should be the president is a part of American foreign policy. Could you discuss that?
Well, I don't think American foreign policy should have anything to do with whether he's the president. he is the president, and that's up to the people of Syria, not to the foreign policy makers of the United States.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that idea that somehow we can go forward from this very dangerous situation where we very nearly had a war, and I suppose that's maybe in abeyance here. But with the continued language, the second part of the U.S. position that I've heard as of yesterday was Susan Rice, I think, the National Security Advisor, saying that still believe that President Assad has to go, and also that the U.S. will now openly supply weapons to the armed groups in that country, the terrorist groups.
Well, Susan Rice is a particularly belligerent personality, and it's dangerous to have people with that value system in positions of government where they can affect whether people across the oceans get killed or not. But the question of the presidency of Syria is up to the Syrians. It's not up to the White House or the Congress of the United States. It's their country and their right. And unfortunately, they are engaged in conflict. It seems to have quieted down quite a bit, but it was very hot for a while there and dangerous, and it was coming from foreign sources overwhelmingly, which is a violation of international law. You can't mess around with the domestic problems of another country by financing, I guess you could call them mercenaries. Some of them may be personally committed, but their bread and butter and guns and ammunition were coming from U.S. taxpayers, and that's not permissible in morality or in international law.
Mm-hmm. I think we'd be remiss if we don't ask. Ramsey, you've met, of course, world leaders for different quarters of the world over many years. Give us an idea of who is this man, President Assad. How did you find him?
Well, I follow those things. He had left Syria as a fairly young person for England. He became a medical doctor, an ophthalmologist. He spent years there, married, started his family, planned to live there. And there was nothing on the charts that indicated he would become president. The the thought was if there was secession, succession within the family, it would be his older brother. But when the time came that his father passed on, the brother was not acceptable and not available, and he was brought back. And very interesting to watch the greetings. He's as you'd expect a doctor to be. He's a general appearing and seeming person in his manner, and maybe a little bit shy even. And you know, a week or so ago when we were talking with him, he's an understated person, quietly spoken, and thoughtful, sensitive. He was leading his country in a time of terrorist violence. It was coming in from three or four sides, three or four directions. It seems to have quieted down some now, hopefully. Mm-hmm. Losses to the population were great, but while we were there, at least the area between the Mediterranean and Baghdad, which is pretty short, it's probably less than 80 miles. I don't mean Baghdad, I'm sorry, Beirut.
Mm-hmm.
All was quiet. And the capital, Beirut, was quiet. There was some tension because of the violence. A large group of young people camped out in tents on a plateau on a mountain just above the city and the presidential palace that called themselves Over Our Dead Bodies. They were unarmed and looked about college age, but their theory was that, and their position was that they would give their lives to nonviolently, actually, because they weren't armed and had no intention of fighting. They just were going to stand in the way of any effort to overthrow the government of
mm-hmm.
the current government of Syria.
That mountain, I don't know how to pronounce
it. Hopefully it'll continue to be quiet and settle down, but the ability of the United States and other powers to cause internal violence and mercenaries and try to destabilize and overthrow governments very high for a majority of the countries in the world, sadly. It ought to be one of the supreme international crimes.
That moment that you were living through there in Damascus, but also we've all been sort of noticing, this has been there's been a lot of dramatic things have happened since that sort of showdown where it looked as though the President of the United States and the Secretary of State were saying they were going to do this all by themselves, that they used to have these things called coalition of the willing. They seem to be out of coalition and out of willing. What's gone wrong with the show?
Well, the coalition of the willing, so-called, was not entirely voluntary or desired by the so-called willing. Even willing's a weak word. It doesn't imply committed. It means they'd be dragged along without resistance. But sadly, it seemed to be part of a process. We've seen over the democratic will of the Egyptian people the restoration of military government in Egypt, which is a tragedy. We've seen the overthrow and breaking apart almost of Libya, which was the wealthiest country in Africa, gave more to sub-Saharan Africa and foreign aid, for which it asked nothing in return than the United States or any other country. Had a higher living standard by far than any country in Europe, and now it's a shambles. internally divided, and be hard to put it back together. Mm-hmm. That's just one illustration, one country after another. Mm-hmm. Syria being the most stubborn, for all of its wealth, Libya wasn't able to withstand an attack by a NATO attack directed by the U.S. and supported by the U.S., both physically and monetarily, mm-hmm. and politically.
Yes,
but they couldn't break Syria, at least so far.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. I mean, the world, I shouldn't use that word, but various states agreed that it would be a good idea to have a no-fly zone over Libya so as to, prevent any use of air power to kill civilians. Then the NATO came in and bombed the bejesus out of Libya. And
the rule didn't apply to NATO.
Yeah, and so when they said, well, now we want to do the same favor for Syria, I mean, it just seemed that they did run into an opposition they hadn't heard before.
Well, NATO's, a major instrumentality of the United States. It's not under complete control, but it does a lot of our dirty work these days. Certainly Libya would be an outstanding example. But I don't think you said Syrian aircraft was attacking civilians.
I meant Libya. The idea, they claimed that they wanted to keep Libyans, civilians, safe from Gaddafi's planes. But in fact, my memory was that Gaddafi agreed not to fly the planes, and they bombed him anyway.
Yeah. And in Syria, any planes that were used to attack heavily armed and financially supported insurrectionists that were trying to take over the country.
Yeah, and they have a neighbor, Turkey, which menaces them periodically, which also has an air force, of course.
Turkey's a powerful country, a lot bigger military than Syria's.
Mm-hmm. This is Ramsey Clark. He's former Attorney General of the United States. He's also the founder of the International Action Center, IACenter.org. I wonder, Ramsey, if you find it encouraging, some of this. Suddenly, we are hearing something we hadn't heard for a long time from the new president of Iran, and there is open talks going on. But I hear a subject that I used to be forbidden to talk about. That is a weapons, a mass destruction-free zone, chemical weapons-free zone, etc., for the region, which would include the government of Israel.
Well, I'm for global zone for the elimination of...
I guess if they got it, we'd have to ask it, could we join?
They should ask, could we join? Because we've got more chemical arms than anybody, mm-hmm. or I might say everybody else put together.
Mm-hmm. Are you encouraged by this news, this talk?
Well, it's hopeful. It's pointing in the right direction. Iran has a prime minister who's personally committed to peace and friendly relations with neighbors, and it's a big step forward. Iran's been through a lot. We ought to remember that when we tend to criticize them. 25 years under the Shah, which was imposed by the United States, actually. The United States had replaced the Shah. He was just a kid at the time on the Peacock throne when they had a democratically elected government. And they suffered under that for 25 years, and they couldn't take it anymore. And one of the most remarkable revolutions in history was a nonviolent revolution against the government, which was at the huge military. It had more tanks than the British Army that would help finance. They had Sidewinder missiles in their Air Force, which no other country except the United States had, from a many other advanced tech things, the Shaw's are.
By the way, a nuclear program that we all like, thought was fine.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a dangerous time for that region.
Mm-hmm.
So the people are cautious in their attitude toward the United States. The new prime minister is open-minded, and you might say a gambler. He's willing to take our word for it if we'll agree to peace.
Again, this is Ramsey Clark. And Ramsey, I want to ask about this going forward here. The next stage of this matter with Syria is the renewal of the talks, which had been taken off the table by the U.S., but now I understand that talks are coming up. Those talks from the Russian, Chinese, and other point of view, other states, are supposed to include countries like Iran and Saudi Arabia, aren't they?
And I will think that's right.
And do you think they will include them?
Hope so. I think if they don't, it won't be sufficiently comprehensive to ensure peace.
In the back of my mind, I was asking myself that too: is it whether this sudden interest in warming up to Iran might be in recognition that they're now stuck in a process of diplomacy, not war, and it might be time to be a little nicer toward one of the parties.
Well, that's the optimistic view, which, as long as we keep realistic about it, I'm always for. I hope it'll come to pass, and I think it's. I thought it was a good sign that President Obama called the Prime Minister and had a person-to-person conversation with him. The shame is he didn't have several days of meetings.
Mm-hmm. And in saying that, it's true, is it not, that actually this conversation was available to them for all these past years?
Of course, yeah. Always has been. And it wasn't greeted with enthusiasm either in Iran or the United States. It's like the leaders are getting out of line. Hey, whoa there. What are you trying to do? We're make peace?
Yeah. Make peace and make fools of ourselves.
Yeah.
Again, this is Ramsey Clark, and I should probably I'm gonna ask you, Ramsey, again, just on your visit there to Syria, what exactly was conveyed to you by the President Assad? I mean, did he have particular matters that he wanted you all to think about? Or what was his final, what is his sort of sign-off position?
Well, he made a lengthy analysis of the situation, and he saw it, and his thoughts on how to stabilize relations and secure peace for not only his country but the whole region and beyond. He spoke as a man of peace. I take him to be a man of peace. He was a man that never intended to head a government, who'd chosen healing the sick, or at least healing the eyesight of people, as his profession in life, and maybe he can heal the vision of the warriors, and we'll have peace.
Yeah. Maybe that turned out to be the best training of all.
Yeah. If you can do that, it's
do no harm.
It's what the world. Yeah, absolutely, be the best thing that could happen.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Ramsey Clark, we are very grateful, but we. Everybody here in the peace movement is certainly, and Canadians beyond, are really glad you made that trip. Thank you very, very much.
Well, listen, it's always great to talk to you, and hope to see you soon.
All right, same here.
Keep getting the good word out.
All right, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye. That's Ramsey Clark, former Attorney General of the United States. He is the founder in 1992 of the International Action Center. That is iacenter.org. You're listening to the Taylor Report. CIUT 89.5 FM. You can write to us, taylor@cit.fm. We're on the web, taylor-report.com. We're going to take a break. We'll be back.